when I announced that the subject tonight would be on fishing, I didn't think that we would have snow outside, but I think it is still appropriate. You noticed in the text that was read a few minutes ago that at one point they had caught nothing, and yet just a little while later, in the same place, their nets were full. I would remind you that Jesus said in Matthew 4, when he was calling Peter and Andrew and James and John, who were fishermen in the real sense of the word, that if you'll come after me, I will make you fishers of men. The lesson tonight is intended to, in a sense, follow the lesson this morning, again emphasizing the importance of fishing for men, the importance of all of us being involved in teaching God's Word and trying to bring people to Jesus Christ. I want to do two things tonight. The lesson is a little different from most of the lessons that I present. I want to read first a rather lengthy article that was written by John M. Drescher on a parable on fishless fishermen. And then after reading that, I want to turn to God's Word and make just a few suggestions of how we need to really think about this. Now, it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were hungry. Week after week, month after month, and year after year, these who call themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish, the abundance of fish, and how they might go about fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing means, defended fishing as an occupation, and declared that fishing is always to be a primary task of fishermen. Continually, they searched for new and better methods of fishing and for new and better definitions of fishing. Further, they said, the fishing industry exists by fishing as fire exists by burning. They love such slogans as, fishing is the task of every fisherman. Every fisherman is a fisher. And a fisherman's outpost for every fisherman's club. They sponsored special meetings called fishermen's campaigns. And the month for fishermen to fish. They sponsored costly nationwide and worldwide congresses to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and hear about all the ways of fishing, such as the new fishing equipment, fish calls, and whether any new bait had been discovered. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. In addition to meeting regularly, they organized a steering committee to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish. All the fishermen seemed to agree that what is needed is a steering committee which could challenge fishermen to be faithful in fishing. The steering committee was formed by those who had the great vision and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, and to promote the idea of fishing in faraway streams and lakes where many other fish of different colors lived. Also, the steering committee hired staffs and appointed committees and held many meetings to define fishing, to defend fishing, and to decide what new streams should be thought about. But the staff and the committee members did not fish. Large and elaborate and expensive training centers were built whose original and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of fish, the nature of fish, where to find fish, the psychological reactions of fish, and how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology, but the teachers did not fish. They only taught fishing year after year after tedious training. Many were graduated and were given fishing license. They were sent to do full-time fishing. Some to distant waters which were filled with fish. Some spent much study and travel to learn the history of fishing and see faraway places where the founding fathers did great fishing in the centuries past. They lauded the faithful fishermen of years before who handed down the idea of fishing. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to publish fishing guides. Presses were kept busy day and night to produce materials solely devoted to fishing methods, equipment, and programs to arrange and encourage meetings to talk about special speakers on the subject of fishing. Many who felt the call to be fishermen responded. They were commissioned and sent to fish, but like the fishermen back home, they never fished. Like the fishermen back home, they engaged in all kinds of other occupations. They built power plants to pump water for fish and tractors to plow new waterways. They made all kinds of equipment to travel here and there to look for fish hatcheries. Some also said that they wanted to be part of the fishing party, but they felt called to furnish fishing equipment. Others felt their job was to relate to the fish in a good way so that the fish would know the differences between good and bad fishermen. Others felt that simply letting the fish know they were nice, land-loving neighbors and how loving and kind they were was enough. After one stirring meeting on the necessity of fishing, one fella left the meeting and went fishing. The next day, he reported that he had caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he did it. So he quit fishing in order to have time to tell about the experience to the other fishermen. And he was placed on the steering committee as a person having considerable experience. Now, it's true that many of the fishermen sacrificed and put up with all kinds of difficulty. Some lived near the water and bore the smell of the dead fish every day. They received the ridicule of some who made fun of their fishermen's clubs. In fact, they claimed to be fishermen, yet never fished. They wondered about those who felt it was of little use to attend the weekly meetings to talk about fishing. After all, were they not following the master who said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men"? Imagine how hurt some were when one day a person suggested that those who don't catch fish are really not fishermen, no matter how much they claim to be. Yet it did sound correct. Is a person a fisherman if he year after year never catches a fish? I don't think I've read an article lately that hit me between the eyes any more than that. And I stand here tonight to tell you that I think it applies to me as much or more than anybody that's in the audience tonight. But it really caught my attention when I stopped to think about how much we talk about fishing for souls and sometimes how little we do. And I assure you that I have sat down and spent some time in trying to look at my own life and my own work in light of the idea that is therein suggested. And I think it will help me in so doing. And out of that, I have drawn up some 6 or 7 suggestions that I would like to make tonight, in just a very short, concise way that I hope will cause all of us to think about the idea that if we are fishermen, it's time for us to fish. I would suggest, first of all, that a good fisherman has to go where the fish are. Luke, the 5th chapter and verse 4, Christ told them, physically speaking, to launch out into the deep. The deep was not very far from them, but they had to get out away from where they were, at least a short piece, in order to find the fish about which Jesus was talking. I'm reminded that he also said in his account of the gospel in John 4 that the harvest is white, that there is a situation that is white unto harvest. There were many fish that were ready to be caught, and yet it seemed there were not enough fishermen to catch them. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 37 and 38, he says about the same thing. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If we were able to look at ourselves tonight from God's vantage point, I wonder what he would think about us as he looks at the idea of our being fishermen and the fish that are to be caught. The second suggestion that I would make for someone to be a good fisherman is that he needs to follow the guidebook. If I were going to do much fishing, I would need to read something about what others have said who knew the subject. And certainly if we're going to go out fishing for men, we need to know the subject and we need to know the guidebook that God has written about what kind of bait, what kind of hook, what kind of approach, and other questions and answers that are found in that word which is said to make us complete and furnish us unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And is the light to our path and is a guide to our way, as indicated in Psalm 119:105. I would further suggest that it is important for a fisherman to associate with other good fishermen, especially those who have experience. Everything that was said in that article that I read was not bad. Some of those plans that were being made were good, if they were aimed in the right direction. It's interesting to me that when Jesus found Peter and Andrew fishing, he found James and John nearby. And though God did not decide to tell us the details behind the scene, I would guess that they were fishing nearby because they were encouraging each other and learning from each other, and maybe especially learning from the father of James and John, who no doubt had had experience over a period of years. Sometimes if we try to do things alone, we become discouraged. And that's true even with those of us who preach. I was in Louisville, Mississippi with John and Debbie Myers just a few days ago, and one of the things that I think is a contributing factor to some of the difficulties that the work there faces is John's almost alone in that general area as a preacher of the gospel. I was thinking as I drove back about how many different preachers of the gospel there are even in the audience and that I meet every day of the week. We need to encourage each other and associate with the best fishermen. I believe in the fourth place that we need to use the best bait that is available. And the best bait that is available is the gospel, as we're talking about fishing for men. It may be that we allow ourselves to think about gimmicks to the extent that we forget the power that is in the gospel. Now, I certainly understand that we are to use every kind of approach that can be used, and we'll emphasize that more a bit later. But whether we go to an individual or we speak to a group, whatever we're doing to try to bring someone to Christ, we must realize that the main bait that is to be used is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior. Love is certainly a part of the bait that is to be used, as indicated in the 15th chapter of John, particularly verse 12. But I also note that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, indicating that sometimes the bait of fear may need to be used along with the bait of love. And I'm also reminded that in Jude 22 and 23 of that little one chapter book, he says that we may have to make a difference in our approach to people. Some were able to bring with love, and he says there are others we may have to sort of snatch out of the fire, as it were. You remember the sermon that was talked about by Jonathan Edwards of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's been mentioned in at least one of our classes recently. There may be an element of that that we need to remember, and sometimes that may be the only way that we can get the attention of people to really listen to the gospel and to look at all its benefits to approach it from the standpoint that, yes, the God of love is also a consuming fire. And that the same God is a God of mercy and a God of severity, depending on our reaction to what he has told us to do. But in all of this, we need to feel like Paul did in Romans 1, I am debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. And he went ahead to explain that as much as was in him, he was ready to preach the gospel. Notice there, he emphasizes that proper bait. And folks, we need to be careful that we never get away from using that basic bait of the gospel to bring people to Christ. And I still believe that there's power in it. And I still believe that if we'll put it out there in the right way, that there are people who can still be brought to Christ with just the simple, plain gospel. Perhaps with a mixture, the appropriate mixture of love and fear. And this next point is somewhat related to that, in that we need to learn to use ingenuity. We need to learn to use any approach that we can and to think of any way that we can to approach people with the gospel, not to change the gospel, not to come up with something new there, but in our approach. If you've ever been fishing, you know that you'll try a certain depth, and if that doesn't work, you'll try another depth, or you try over there. If it doesn't work, you try over here. And you'll probably use every bait that you have in your tackle box, trying to figure out what it is that you can do to catch that fish and get him in the boat. You've got the same goal, no matter what you use, but to use to get him into the boat. That's exactly what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 9. I've become all things to all men that I might by all means win some. He didn't say by all different gospels. He didn't change the gospel. He said by all methods that I might win some. And I believe we need to use that in fishing for men today. Go where the fish are. Follow the guidebook. Associate with the best fishermen. Use the best bait. Use ingenuity. And don't be discouraged. It took me a long time to realize the impact of that little verse in 1 Corinthians 3 that says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. I spent too much of my time for years trying to give the increase. That's God's work. He told me to plant and water. And if we don't catch as many fish as we wanted to, do we say, I'm never going fishing again? I'm never going to try again? If you're much of a fisherman, that's not what you say. We're never discouraged. I caught one 25-pound fish back in about 85 or 6. I've never caught a big fish since then. But that one's worth a lot. I carry the picture in my billfold, if any of you'd like to see it. And I've not quit fishing since I haven't caught many in the last few years. I've about quit, but I mean, I haven't quit the desire for fishing. I would enjoy going. Maybe ought to go more. Don't be discouraged. He said, what about your fishing in Luke 5? They said, we haven't caught anything. He said, launch out into the deep. There in John 21, he said, they said, we fish. We haven't caught anything. He said, cast your net over there on the right side of the boat. Try again. Don't get discouraged. You can just sort of read Peter's mind there. He was saying, Lord, we've tried and tried and tried. We haven't caught anything. He says, throw your net over there again. Try again. We need to realize that some of those that we think we're in the process of catching will get off the hook. They may be like that man that Jesus described in Mark 12 and said he's not far from the kingdom of God. How many times have you got that prize fish right up to the boat and you got off the hook? And I would guess that some of you have had the experience of even getting him in the boat and then he flops back out and you lost him. But 1 Corinthians 3 says, even if you lose all your works and they're burned by fire, you can still save your soul. You see, what God told us to be doing, and I need to understand this better and better. What God told us to be doing was not counting fish so much as fishing. Doing the planting and the watering, doing the fishing, And he says he'll take care of the increase. It's good for us to talk about fishing. It's good for us to plan to fish. It's good for us to send men and women other places in the world to fish and to go ourselves, as so many have gone just this very week, to fish. But folks, when we've said everything about it and we've established all the committees and we've planned all the programs and we've written all the books and we've talked all the talk, it comes right down to one thing, and the real advice is, if you want to catch fish, fish. If you want to be a fisherman, fish. I like what Jesus said there in Luke 5, and I'd like to close with that. He said, launch out into the deep. What did he say? He said, boys, get out there and fish. You're going to catch some fish. And I say to you tonight, but I say to us tonight, with all else that we do and plan, let's be sure that we get out there and fish. Are you in a position that you can fish? Are you on the Lord's team? Are you one of His who can be one of His fishermen? If not, you may need to even come tonight to be baptized into Christ or to ask for prayer, and that's your opportunity as together we stand and sing.